Now, once again, here's Mark.
Well, it's not really once again. It's for the first time on Saturday. My name's Mark Salem, and you're welcome to join us. This is a car show, and we're talking about cars, car repair questions, your problems, my problems. We share information, and if you want to call, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And this is what we ask you to consider. We ask you to consider that you tell us your, please tell us your name, tell us the year and the make and the model and the mileage of the subject car, or the car we're going to talk about, or the truck we're going to talk about, and then let's talk about symptoms. So this is the give and take part of the show, is I ask you questions and you answer them the best you can. Now, obviously, the answers can be yes, no, or I don't know, and those are perfectly acceptable. This is not where we talk about YouTube and all the experts on the internet. This is not where we talk about how many times somebody's tried and failed to fix this problem, because that doesn't further us along. So it's entirely possible that somebody installed a mass airflow sensor and we still have a mass airflow sensor code, so it can't be that. It has to be, and that's just not the case in car repair. So it's kind of a, if we do it this way, it's the best way. And to be perfectly honest with you, with respect to who does it the best way, ladies always give me the symptoms and answer my questions. And the 10% of the time the guys tell me about all the work they've done. And I'm thinking to myself, gosh, it doesn't really further us along. If we could, you know, talk about the vibration, I know you had four tires put on it, and I know you had this, and I know your neighbors checked out this, but can we just talk about the vibration? Can we talk about, does it shake the steering wheel? Does it shake the seat of your pants? Does it shake the whole car? Those are the kinds of things that kind of help us along. Anyway, let me tell you about some great shops, and these are shops that don't pay me to talk nicely about them. I'm telling you they're good shops because I know them and have known them for years. Larry Harker's Auto Repair has been in Phoenix since 1967. They're at 38th Avenue and Indian School. Bob and Ellen own and operate Larry Harker's Auto. Ellen's at the front counter. Bob's in the shop, and he's probably one of the best diagnosticians I've ever met in my life. So he can do from oil changes, but he can also find out when you turn on the air conditioning on level 3, then something's quacking underneath the dash. He's really good at chasing those things down, like all of us, if he can duplicate them. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. So Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School. If you have one of those cars nobody's been able to fix, I would suggest you go see him. Gil, who we got?
We have Joe.
Joe, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. Yeah, I've got a 1953 Mercury Monterey, and allegedly it has 52,000 miles on it, but, you know, who really knows?
Right.
So I've been going through this car, and it runs beautifully, but it's got a flathead in it, and I'm not that familiar with those. And I was just curious, do you know, I think I've heard you talk before about shops that are a little better at flatheads than others.
Well, it's not really, I'm not going to draw the line on the flathead. Obviously,
okay.
You wouldn't pick a guy who might be 25 years old. He wasn't around. I think you picked
right.
Somebody who's got gray hair. I think you picked somebody who's been in the business a long time. But let me tell you the other side of the coin. The other side of the coin is this. The flathead uses spark, fuel, and compression, and they all have to be timed appropriately. Your flathead motor is no different than a Honda four-cylinder of a brand-new Honda car. It's just no different. The difference in your flathead is we're running the valves and off the cam in the block, and the difference in the Honda is it has overhead valves. But tell me what kind of problems you're experiencing with the motor.
Actually, right now with the motor, it's beautiful. It runs as smooth as can be, but I know someday I may have to have someone look at it, and I was just trying to be a little proactive here and you know, pick your brain on a shop that if I did have a problem with it, I might, you know, steer in that direction. I have a couple of other older cars, not as old as this, but I have noticed occasionally I go to shops and they're not particularly fond of working on older cars. They like to do the newer ones. And so I thought I'd heard you talk about somebody that was actually pretty versed in block flat heads, and so I thought I'd pick your brain on that. I do have one problem with the car. It's one of the rear brake lights does not come on when you push the brake. The turn signal works. The backup lights work. The parking light works. You know, with the running lights or whatever. I noticed that, you know, the same wire that does the turn signal does the brake light, and I, of course, have intermittent power, blinking power when it's turn signal time, but brake time, I got no power on that line. Do you have a hint or a tip or idea?
It's important to understand how it's wired, and without a schematic, I'm going to guess, but I'm pretty sure I'm doggone close.
Unfortunately, that's what I'm doing, too. Okay, go ahead.
So you apply the brake, and we're going to send that power up through the turn signal mm-hmm. switch and to both brake lights.
Yeah.
When you turn on your turn signals, it's still going to come up through the column, but it's going to split at the turn signal switch and blink the right. The real question is do we have blinking back there? We have 12 volts back there that's blinking on that circuit. So on the brake circuit. So you're saying that the parking or the brake and the turn signal works, but the brake light by itself doesn't work. If that's the case.
That's correct. Yeah. If you turn the lights on, that light lights up. If you turn the turn signal on, it signals. But if you just push on the brake pedal, that back light does not light.
Okay, so
I have checked the ball, by the way.
Okay. We have turn signal all the time, and mm-hmm. and you're saying that we use. So you have a double filament bulb in the taillight of your car?
I do.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, this isn't going to be hard. This isn't really hard, but I can't tell you where the problem's at. I think you start at the brake light switch and work your way backwards, and I think you examine the socket really, really well, and I think you swap the bulbs from left to right, and if the socket's unplugged, then why don't you take the passenger off and put it on the driver and see if the problem moves with the sockets. There's just so many, but really and truly, somebody with a voltmeter and a needle from your wife's sewing cabinet that we can stick through the wires and figure out what's inside of them. That's going to be easy. Getting back to your flathead though, oil changes and cooling systems and all that kind of stuff is no different. The only time you're going to need a gray-haired guy is when it idles roughly, or it won't crank cold, it won't crank hot, it won't start cold, it won't start hot. Those are the times that you're going to need help. What part of town do you live in?
I live around Shea and the 101, Shea Boulevard and the 101 Freeway.
I think Blackwell at 40th Street and Greenway would be your best bet. He's just north of Greenway on 40th Street. He doesn't have any hair, but if he did have hair, it would be gray. I'm teasing him.
And I've been there before.
Okay. And I think that this brake light issue, I think it's going to cost, and I'm just throwing numbers out. It could be $10, it could be $50, and it's going to cost $1.50 to fix it. So it's one of those things that the entire now it could be a bad brake light switch, and if that's the case, we can usually wire around that, so we can tag up the brake light on the right to the brake light on the left, unless of course that circuit's open, and then the turn signals would be affected. So Blackwell could pull that off.
Okay, hey, thanks a lot, Mark.
All right, you betcha. TOT Blackwell. And that means turned over to Blackwell. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. And I think we have another caller, Gil.
Yes, we have Terry. Say hello.
Terry, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Yeah, I need a little information on a 2013 Sonata and the automatic transmission fluid.
Okay.
Dealer wants $19 or $20 a quart for the damn stuff, and I was shocked. There's got to be something better.
Well, there's some universal transmission fluids out there that are will replace that. It's not like that's made in a factory where Sonatas are made. They're buying this transmission fluid from everybody else in the world. So really and truly, Max Life is a Valvoline product. Max Life is a Valvoline product.
LIFE.
Yes, Max Life.
Max Life.
Yes. And I think you go to the website, Valvoline.com, and you type in Max Life, and then what you're going to ask for is the application chart. So you're going to go look at the Sonata, the 15, and you're going to go from there. And I know you just lost me for a little bit there, and that's my fault. And so the idea is that if you get to Max Life, you get the application, and I'm pretty sure your car is going to be covered, and you can go with that. Call him up.
Let me have your phone. On this number, or?
Yeah.
I did a change of transmission fluid.
Okay.
And they want some astronomical.
The vehicle you have?
Yeah.
They want a big price.
Well, how many miles are on it?
56,000.
Okay, have you looked in your owner's manual to find out when the owner's manual calls for a transmission service?
I will double check that, especially after finding out what they want per quart for this stuff.
Yeah, I think I'd look at the owner's manual real quick, and I would see. Just the other day, I was looking at I was helping a friend of mine because he had been told that at 30,000 miles, he needs a whole bunch of this fancy stuff. And we went through his owner's manual on his motorhome, and he didn't need a single thing they were trying to sell him because the motorhome manual, for instance, the transmission service was at 30, and the motorhome called for 150,000 mile. That was the first service. Now, if it was mine, would I do it at 100,000? Probably so. But the owner of the motorhome and the chassis has said 150,000. So, and it's a synthetic fluid anyway, and we're seeing synthetic oil fluids go to 50, to a total of 15,000 miles between oil changes, so I don't think that's really a big deal. But anyway, thanks for calling, and thanks for putting up for the interruptions. Gil, during the break, I'm going to drop my rate just once, and see, we'll see if we can stop this madness. But, folks, this intermittent radio show is all my fault. It's all my fault. I'm using a piece of equipment we've had trouble with before, but it's because I left the power supply in my office and I couldn't get there to get it. So I apologize for that. 602-508-0960. 21 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, my name is Mark Salem, and we're here at your service. And we're talking about cars and car repair issues, and you're welcome to join us, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. We're going to go to Dennis, and then we're going to tell you about another good shop. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, I'm calling for a buddy of mine. He's afraid of radios, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
He failed the emission test on his 92 Suburban.
Okay.
And he took it in to a shop to see what he had to do to get it to pass. And they told him he needed a new catalytic converter, vacuum elbow, and an EGR valve.
Okay.
And they estimated it's going to cost him $1,100. Does that sound like a fair figure?
Well, I don't even care about the figure, Dennis. I think you need to worry more about the diagnosis. Do you have any idea if they failed CO, HC, or NOx, or all three, or only one? Do you know?
The bottom one.
NOx.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it failed the bottom one.
Okay. I'm thinking that's NOx, NOx. What it sounds like to me is it's a shotgun repair, because if you pass CO and HC, now, first of all, if you fail CO, you're going to fail HC most of the time. You can fail HC by itself, and it doesn't affect CO. But NOx, which I think is the bottom, we're both agreeing because my wife's shaking her head here. NOx has to do with EGR, and it can be the passageways plugged up. It can be that there's no vacuum to it. So it could be a lot of different things that would prevent the EGR from operation. And it's closed, it keeps both passages, two passages underneath it. And when it's open, it takes passage one and allows it access to passage two. You can't possibly fix this till you fix the EGR issue. And the EGR issue is going to be the application of it, whatever makes it work, its ability to work, and then whether the two passageways underneath it in this Suburban that's as old as Jesus Christ, those two passages are okay. So here's what you want to do. First of all, you want to get a second opinion, because if you want to just, if he who's sitting there next to you wants to just spend $1,100, I'd like to do that for him. So just have him go to the shop and write his check for $1,100, and I'll fix his emissions, and I'll just keep his money. But I could be wrong, but I'm a little uncomfortable that they're tying the two of them together when, in fact, most of the time, 50% of the time, it's either going to be cat, but it could be a cat problem because we're not introducing air into it, or the O2 sensor's bad. There's a lot of things that can be going on here. So I would think he'd want a second opinion. What vicinity of the city does he live in?
He's up in Cave Creek.
Okay, I don't have anybody up in Cave Creek that I can recommend. He has to come further south, but he can go to marksalem.com and look at all of our good shops and stuff, and all of those guys are certainly credible and capable of diagnosing the problem. I would have much rather they said the EGR is opening and closing, but it's not affecting the idle of the engine. Therefore, one of the two passageways is clean. Or I need to clean it first. I need to get the EGR working first. And how I know that is at idle, I open the EGR with my fingers, and all of a sudden the engine starts stumbling. I let go of the EGR diaphragm, and then all of a sudden it smooths right out. Well, I've made the first step. Now we're going to look at the NOx. Ooh, we're much better in the NOx. So we go drive the heck out of it, and then we bring it to the emission station, and there's 75% chance it would pass. But I think the EGR needs to be dealt with first.
Yeah. Well, all right. He's hearing you, so
okay.
He can take it from there.
And next time, you just tell him to step up to the microphone. If he's a big boy and he can drive a Suburban, then he ought to be able to talk on the radio.
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah. What is? Does he wear women's clothes by chance, Dennis?
I've never caught him.
Do I know him, Dennis?
No.
Oh, okay. Because my next question, Dennis, is Dennis and I obviously know one another. Dennis is a retired policeman. Okay. And so my next question to him is do we know one another? And if he said yes, I'd say, well, just don't give me his name, but give me his serial number, yeah, and then I'll know who he is. But Dennis
he's a cop from back in Illinois. So
Des Plaines,
Illinois.
Dennis was from Des Plaines.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, Dennis came to us. He came west of the Mississippi. This was like in 1932. Uh-huh. He came west of the Mississippi, and they were chasing him, but he won't tell us why.
Okay.
So he ended up in Scottsdale, and he was really really good in Scottsdale.
That one to my grave.
And he worked all kinds of
things, Mark.
Yeah, you're welcome. And he had the biggest, bushiest black mustache you've ever seen in your life. I mean to tell you, it looked like a sweeper. You know what I mean? And everybody was jealous of his ability to grow this mustache that just was a real man's man mustache. Mm-hmm. And his wife Hallory used to be on the radio. And every once in a while, they would get in a fight on the radio.
Oh,
and,
I guess.
Yeah. It was in public. And everybody was clicking their mics, because when Dennis talked, we clicked our mics because we were on his side. But when Hallory talked, nobody clicked their mics because we weren't going to stick up for Hallory.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got another person on the line. But before we take him, just real quick, let me tell you about Strictly Diesel Service and Repair. They're really good guys. They work on diesel trucks, light and foreign and domestic light diesel trucks. They're on I-17, Pinnacle Peak Road. Nate's been around a very long time, so if you've got a light-duty domestic truck, Chevy, Ford, Dodge, Nate's your guy. He's not going to take you through. He's not going to get into your wallet. He's going to diagnose it, and he's going to give you the estimate, and you can decide what you want to do. But he's going to give you the proper estimate, and he's going to tell you why that is. So anyway, who's next?
Jeff.
Jeff, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
I'm good. Good. Thank you.
I have a 2018 Chevy Silverado half ton. It's got the 4.3 V6 EcoTech in it. And and I drive all day making deliveries, and in the afternoon, when it's good and warmed up, it has a little slight rough idle to it. It doesn't die, and there's times when the idle gets a little worse, rough idle, but I notice that a lot of times when that happens, you expect the RPMs to drop like it's going to die. The RPMs don't change when I feel this rough idle or act like it wants to die.
Okay. I think the first thing we need to do is make sure, I'm a little concerned about the tachometers not displaying what you're hearing.
Feeling.
I'm wondering are you been using the air conditioning recently?
No. Okay. And then if I turn the times I do turn it on, the RPM does not go up or down. It stays right, just a hair above 500.
Okay. Well, here's what I was wondering. And I'm going to take a break here in just about 30 seconds. I want you to stay there because I want to talk to you some more. But this is what I was thinking. I wonder if the air conditioning cycling on and off, which would then create a similar symptom that you're describing. Or it could be the cooling fan kicking on and off. And that oftentimes makes the motor sound different, but in reality, the fan is kicking on and kicking off. So there's a lot of things going on there. But here's the good news. Your 18 is still under an emissions warranty. So when I come back, we're going to talk about that, and that covers just about everything in the ignition and fuel system. 602-508-0960. Thirty-four minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock, my name is Mark Salem. We're here talking about cars for the next hour and a half. If you have a car problem, a car question, or if you and your husband are arguing about something and it has to do with a motor vehicle, I am Judge Judy of those kinds of issues. So 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We're going to finish up with Jeff. Jeff, you have an emissions, and an emissions is going to cover just about anything to do with the engine, especially spark, fuel, and timing. So when you get to the point where you're actually going to be looking at some drivability problem, that's entirely possible that that's going to be covered under your emissions warranty. One of the things that you can do to ensure the success is, if you can, learn how to make it happen so you can demonstrate it to the shop. That's so important that either you can describe it to a T, or you can say, I want to take the technician for a ride and show him how to make it happen. But I also want you to pay attention on whether AC's on or the fan's on or you're in the heater mode or what kind of load you've got on the engine. I want you to when it starts idling rough, throw it into neutral and see if that makes any difference. And you can do that when you're driving down the road or at a traffic light. There's a lot you can do if you can just demonstrate it.
Yeah, I've had it into the shop where I bought it. I'm not sure if I can say their name on the air, but I had it into the shop, the dealership where I bought it. They couldn't, it was in the morning, they couldn't simulate it, so they said they can't do anything, and I felt like I left with the same problem I came in with.
Oh, no, there's no question.
And I'm thinking, hey, buddy.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, hey guys, this is your vehicle. This is a GM truck. You should be able to fix it, whether you can simulate it or not.
Well, I'm gonna stand up for you and for them. You can't fix what's not there when you're looking. So you know that's kind of like me telling you, I've got a roof leak when it's raining, but it ain't raining. Here's the good news. 100 years ago, I bought a Suburban with a 454 in it, and I put a blower on it. So I had a supercharger on it. So I had a transmission problem, and I took it in. And they opened up the hood, and they shook their heads, and they said, oh, Mark, you just voided all your warranty. I said, I know, but just figure out what this is. So we went through this for 3 or 4 years, and I had this same transmission problem for 3 or 4 years. So my warranty was over, and sometime later, the transmission completely failed. And so I took it back to the same dealer because I had a good relationship with them. And this is what they did. They called me up and they said, we see you've had quite a few times it's been in for a transmission problem. and we've got the transmission out in the ground, and what's happened is the snap ring broke and allowed the bushing to go into the left side of the ventricle, which allowed the toenails to grow longer, and they were just speaking all this gibberish to me. And I said, okay, so what, at the end of all of this, where are we at? And he goes, we're going to fix your transmission for free. And I said, wow. And he says, Mark, you had it in five times, and the symptoms now match what we find in there. So had I not taken it back again and again, I wouldn't have got that. But if you show a problem in during warranty period, and then hopefully once or twice, and then all of a sudden you're out of warranty, and they go, oh, well, yeah, the air conditioning compressor's bad, and all along you were complaining about the air conditioning, you point them back to the two repairs you had, three repair, or the three efforts they made, and I think most of them will jump to it. So just do your best to do that, but learn how to make it happen, that if you can do that. All right?
Okay, Mark, thank you.
You're welcome. Action Auto Repairs up at I-17 in Deer Valley. Tom's been in business since 1983, and I've known him since the early 80s. I've known most of these guys for a very, very long time. I wouldn't send you to a shop that I didn't trust the owner, that I didn't know his wife, that I didn't have his cell phone number, and he has mine. These people are really, really good at what they do. So I know I can refer you to them, and I know you're not going to be mad at me. So Action Auto, I-17 and Deer Valley, been around a long time. He has ASE-certified technicians. They know right from wrong. They're well-known for quality workmanship, excellent customer service, fast turnaround time. But more than anything else, what I like about Action is the people will call me or email me and say, I went there and I had a great experience. That's the wind that makes my sails puff. So I like that a lot. Action Auto Repair, that's the place, if you live that area, that I would probably send you to. When we come back, we're going to talk about a mistake we made, a car we messed up, a car we misdiagnosed, a car that where the owner drives from Mexico to have us service his car. So you can imagine that the pressure associated with somebody who's driven 3 or 4 hours to have you work on their car, you can imagine the pressure's pretty intense. But at the end of the day, we learned a lot, and the customer learned a lot, and when the customer left, I think they were happy, and I was especially proud of my staff for handling it the way they did. So I'm not shy about raising my hand when we screw up, and I'm not shy about raising my hand to the customer and saying to them we screwed up. So if anybody knows when we screw up, trust me, I do. I just happened to be in the office during this happened, and then I opened the next morning, and he was waiting. And when I saw him sit in his car, I knew we missed it. I knew we missed it. So I walked up and I said, how you doing? And he goes, oh, good. And I said, you're back. And he goes, yeah. He says, we need to look at that again. He said, because the symptom's still there. And so I know we shot the arrow and we missed the target. So when we come back, I'll tell you about that. 602-508-0960. How about 44 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock? My name is Mark Salem, and if you'd like to join us, have a car question, or you have a symptom you want to discuss, that's perfect. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Automotive Dynamics is Sun City's largest and most trusted source for complete automotive services. Chuck started the business, the family-owned business, in 1982, and now Derek, his son, runs it. There is always a betterment when we go from one generation to the other, and if the shop owner won't admit his kids can do better, then there's something he hit his head or she hit her head. But at Automotive Dynamics, that's exactly the case. So if you're in the Sun City area and you're looking for a great shop, I would suggest you stop by Automotive Dynamics. That's the north side of Grand, just west of 99th Avenue. So we're talking about how Mark Salem and Mark Salem's crew messed up. The gentleman has a Ford. Now, that should be the first clue right there. It has a Ford. The gentleman has a Ford, and there is this shutter that is going on that he can't put his... And we don't know if it's spark or fuel or if it's a suspension problem or whatever. Now, I put my best Ford technician who's worked for me for 30 years. He wears Ford underwear, Ford socks, Ford shirts. His toolbox has Ford all over it. He's a Ford guy. So he takes it for a drive, and he comes to the conclusion that there's a motor on the side of the transfer case that is intermittently shifting this it's, I think it's an Explorer, into all-wheel drive. Into all-wheel drive. So he thinks, well, this motor's doing that, so maybe the motor's bad, or it's probably the motor. So we replace the motor at tremendous expense to the customer. So it's really a matter, you got a diagnostic charge, and then you got the motor and the motor replacement labor. So the next morning, as I told you earlier, he's sitting in the parking lot, and it's my turn to open. So I say to him, you're back because we missed it. And he goes, yeah. So gave it back to Eddie, and I said, you know, we need to look at this different. But here's what we forgot. We forgot that the computer controls that motor. We forgot that the computer was a part of the problem. So what we did is we went to the end of the communication line and condemned the motor, when in reality we should have looked farther forward. You're not going to believe the fix. You just won't believe the fix. The fix is that this gentleman, he had an all-wheel drive, and we need the tires in an all-wheel drive to be the same age, the same circumference. And when you have a tire that's half flat, then that tire rolls differently than the other three. And the computer will see that with the wheel sensor. So it's looking at the tires, and the tire that's not fully inflated has a smaller circumference. So it's going to be rolling faster. So all the tires are at 40, except this one over here. And it's smaller. The circumference is smaller, so it's rolling faster. So it's, you know, all the 40, and then it's all of a sudden at 43. So what's going on here is he buys tires, and he typically, if he needs backs, he buys two new ones, and he puts them on the front, and then he moves the front to the back. That's in violation of Mark's law. When you have an all-wheel drive car, you have to buy four tires at the same time. Finally, we figured out that there was a half an inch difference in the diameter between the front and the back tires. Although they were made by the same company, he had changed from an ABC model tire to an X model tire. And there was that much of a difference. So we recognized that the computer is looking, and two of the tires are spinning faster than the other two. So the computer thinks that you've lost traction. The computer thinks those tires are spinning faster because you're in snow, or you're in water, or you're in sand. So the computer will then switch it to all-wheel drive. But the computer's just knowing that the tires are spinning differently between the front and the back. So the fix was to replace two tires and have them the same diameter and circumference as the other two. So we sent him to his tire store, and we were specific. We need a diameter that's this. And of course, diameter times pi equals circumference. And so we said, you know, just take a piece of string if you want and wrap it around the center of the tire and do all of those. It can't be a stretchy piece of string, but, you know, just make sure that the circumference is all the same. So when he came back, he says, no, I watched them, and they were real adamant that they were going to check the diameter and the circumference. And he says the problem is gone. So I kind of hung around downstairs and pretended like I knew what I was doing, and I was just kind of listening and stuff, because I just, what's my staff going to do? What's my daughter going to do, my son do? What's the shop foreman going to do? What's the technician going to do? How are we going to work this out? Now, I felt pretty comfortable that we'd slap him on the back and say, there you go, we fixed it for you, and send him on his way, but that's not really what I think we should have done. So I hung around long enough to find out that the motor was coming off, and we were eating the motor, and that we were going to eat the labor. So we gave him back the money for the motor, gave him back the labor money. So basically, when he came into town, he had to pay for two new tires, and we diagnosed it for free. And that's the way it should have been, because we missed it. We just missed it. Now, do I blame Eddie for missing it? Hell no. That would have stumped the most senior technician. That would have, unless, of course, they've seen it before. If they've seen it before, then you go, oh, okay, I've been there. I've smelt this dog before. I know. I heard this. I smelled it. I know. Then, so maybe a Ford technician who works on just Fords and has worked on the all-wheel drives, he would have picked that up quickly, assuming that he had seen it before. But I can assure you this. We've seen it, and I'm really proud of staff, and I'm not thumping my chest and telling you how great we are. I'm just giving you an example of, we made a mistake, and I want you to know that I am not perfect, and my shop is not perfect, and my staff is not perfect. But I am really proud of them for giving him all of his money back, and it was without any input from me. So there was a service writer involved, a shop foreman involved, a technician involved, and my daughter Andy involved. And between the and it was a unanimous decision. I did find that out. So, and it was a customer that had been driven a long time. He had been a customer a long time. And I don't know what would have happened. It would have been a first-time customer, but I would think the same thing would have happened. I think we would have not cared that this was his first time in. And I would expect that if, in fact, it was his first time in, he would have started the story with, nobody can fix this. and so I brought it to you. And then I think we would have known. So that's kind of the way it is. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. There's lots of other examples where shops make mistakes. I know a lot of them that would have made the same mistake, and I know a lot of them that would have handled it the same and refunded the customer the part and the labor for something that we missed and something that he didn't benefit from. I also know lots of shops that wouldn't have been able to identify that, and there's a lot of shops that would have and wouldn't have given him his money back. So I'm certainly as good as 35 to 40% of the shops out there, and I respect 35 to 40% of the shops out there. But when you go in and you're told that a friend of mine who happens to be a judge, he took his car in because he was having his fluctuating temperature gauge. He asked him to flush the cooling system. I counseled him on that. You're not allowed to diagnose your own problems. Okay, so you don't go in and don't give them the symptoms and tell them to flush the cooling system. Then when it doesn't fix the symptoms, you go back and chew their butts. That's not going to happen. We don't like that. So I told him, you should have just told him that the temperature gauge is fluctuating. That's what you should have left at. So he makes an appointment, he gets there, and they're not ready for him. And they tell him actually the appointment's for the next day, and he says, no, I'm not. Now, he could have made the mistake. I don't know. So anyway, he comes back to pick it up, and it takes forever for him to get the car back, and nobody knows what's going on or where it's at or blah, blah, blah. But when he gets the ticket back, there's a laundry list of things it needs. I mean to tell you, it needs a set of wipers. It needs a differential flush. It needs a transmission flush. It needs a brake fluid flush. It needs to have the intake valves flushed. It needs to have the direct ignition system service. We need to look into the computer and see if it's unhappy with anything. We need to look at historical data in the computer to see if it's seeing anything that needs to be addressed. On and on and on. But when I digest the list, I say to him, do you have these symptoms? No. Do you have these symptoms? No. Did they even fix your fluctuating air, your gauge? He goes, yeah. I said, how'd they fix it? He goes, they flushed the cooling system, which tells me that it was low on coolant. I said, did they replace the radiator cap? No. Did they replace the overflow? No. Do you see any water on the ground? No. Okay, I don't know what to tell you. But the purpose of this conversation is our industry is now working on cars that have what we call maintenance stopping points, that 2 and 3 times what they used to be. On the cars in the 90s and the 2000s, and all the way up until probably 2005, maybe 2010, we used to have a 30, 60, 90 stopping point for maintenance. So you had to do certain maintenance at 30, 60, and 90. Today, most of those cars, most of the cars on the road, don't have that 30 and 60. They're going to have a 90 or 100,000 mile stopping point and maintain. But in reality,
Well,
we had some technical difficulties, and I apologize for that, and I can assure you it has nothing to do with the station. It has to do with me. Let me tell you how stupid I am today. I carry equipment back and forth from my office to our horse property up north. So when we got here this morning to start the show, I had neglected to pick up the power supply for some new radio equipment we have that virtually guarantees that we're not going to have problems like we just had. So I'm back on the old system, and I'm on an old piece of equipment. And the reason I bought the new equipment, called an Access, it's because of the undependability of the Comrex. So we're using the Comrex today, and so everything that happens is my fault.
All right, so finish that story, because I'm not sure they heard about all the flushes, and you got to have symptoms or...
Yeah, well, I know that the music started, and I was almost done. But anyway, you have to pay attention, because your owner's manual is the book. here's self-defense for car expense, especially for women, because guys don't want to do this. So you get to your car, to any shop, whether it's a chain store, an independent shop, a dealer, a fleet, doesn't make any difference. It could be a specialty shop that's a transmission shop that's all of a sudden decided they're experts in every other aspect of car repair. So they tell you that you need stuff. First of all, you make them write it down, and then you can say, well, I'll forget your name. Why don't you just sign your name here or write your name here and give me your phone number? Because if they're telling you a bunch of BS, they're not going to sign their name, and they're not going to give you their phone number. So they're just going to come up, well, just call anybody. So the second thing is you can go get your owner's manual out of your car, and you can say, can you show me in here where it says that you need to flush my intake valve and my intake manifold and my spark plugs and the back of my valves, the front of my valves, and you need to flush my exhaust pipe? And more than likely, they'll not be able to do that. The owner's manual is the Bible for your car. You had better know where to find the maintenance. And so go get the maintenance area, dog-ear the page, fold it over, and keep an eye on it. You don't have to read it and memorize it. You just have to compare it to what you're being told by your shop.
And don't let them tell you that you don't have an Arizona manual.
Yeah.
We've been told that before.
Yeah. And they say, well, you know, that manual's not written for Arizona.
Right.
And so what you say is, doggone it. Okay, well, here's the deal. Order me a new Arizona manual, and they're going to say, well, blah, 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 blah. And you say, go to parts and ask them. So the rest of the story when we come back. Well, welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. We've got another hour here talking about cars, and you're more than welcome to join us. Most everybody calls in on the second hour, so if you jump quick, you got one out of five chances, because Gil's the engineer and the board op, and he's going to take your call at 602-508-0960, and we can talk about your particular problem and see if we can help guide you to a successful solution. We were just talking about the owner's manual and telling you that it's a crazy idea for people to tell you that that's not written for Arizona, because they don't make one for Arizona. That manual's written for every part of where that car may live. And if you really want to call their bluff, walk into parts and ask them, you want the Arizona owner's manual, and you'll find out real quick that they're all going to be huddling around figuring out what the heck they're going to say to you. I'll tell you something else that I know for a fact, and it's been around since the 80s. Let me just start at the beginning. We started seeing these companies come out of the ground with all these fancy chemicals. And the focus of the marketing was this, in my opinion, just in my opinion. If you can sell this service to your customer, here's how you sell it to your customer. And the verbiage they gave you would suggest that your car would love you more if you did this on a regular basis. The car would break down less if you did this on a regular basis. The car will last forever if the engine will last forever if you do this on a regular basis. That's something. I've been in this business for 39 years. I started in a gas station in 1968, and I worked 4 years in a gas station. Then I started with my own car repair shop in 79, and then my wife and I have been in business since then. I've been through these kinds of seminars where they want you to sell this chemical. Let me tell you about the very first time. There was Pam and Butch that owned a company called, it was a parts company. And the parts company they sold parts to us. And so they had this salesman come in, and he had this fancy dancy thing that you hooked up to the fuel system. And it cleaned the fuel system from the gas tank to the fuel injectors like brand new. So there was probably 50 shop owners and technicians in this kind of auditorium, and Pam had donated her Cadillac to be the one to be cleaned. So they have this little, you know, PowerPoint presentation. Yeah. And they hand out the brochures to all the people, and they're going through all this stuff. Well, here's the quick end of this story. They hook this up to the fuel injection rail, and they inject it into the running car. Within about 3 minutes, the car dies. And it becomes very apparent this car ain't going to start. We got 50 guys underneath the hood trying to figure out how come this car won't start. So we artificially inseminate the car with some carburetor cleaner, and the car starts and runs. But it won't run it on its own. So we all say thanks, and we leave. A couple of days later, I call Butch, and his wife, of course, the one that died. I say, hey, whatever happened? And he goes, oh, he says, that's a touchy subject. And I said, okay, well, tell me what the touchy. He says, they didn't know that if they hooked that chemical up to that fuel rail, that it would go back to the tank and wipe out the fuel pump. And I said, so is that what the deal was? He goes, yeah. They filled my gas tank full of this caustic material because they thought it was going to go forward into the fuel injectors and clean them up, when in reality it did go forward, but it also went backward. And see, we now know that's the return line. So we send fuel forward, the motor uses what it wants, and the rest of it goes back to the tank. So I remember that because I never bought any of that stuff. So they came out with a procedure where you had to squeeze the return line and not let any of this stuff go into the tank. But if you didn't do it, or you didn't get a good squeeze on the return line, then you were going to end up buying a pump. And back then, in the early days, that pump was probably an $800 job with labor to drop the tank and replace the pump. So it was a really big item back then. And so we still have that today. We have a company right now that has come into my shop and says, you know, we have six different flushes for the transmission, the brakes, the power steering, the engine cooling system, the engine oiling system, the differential, the air filter. I'm making that up. And all this other stuff. Now, Mark, if you buy this, then you're going to make a lot of money. And also, we're going to put you on our website. And so we do national advertising. So everybody in your geographical area is going to know you sell this product. And if, folks, it's a product that we're supposed to sell. And here's how we're supposed to sell it. Your car really needs this. This is going to prevent your car from breaking down. Your car's going to, and this, in so many words, this is what it is. Your car's going to love you. If you do this once a year, your car's going to love you, and it won't ever break down. We're going to nip the problems before they get going. And so they want us to flush everything. In Mark Salem's vernacular, it's called a wallet flush. All we're doing is flushing your wallet. It has nothing to do with reality. Now, you go into a shop, and they say, it's time to service your transmission. It better be in your owner's manual. And then they say, the first time we serviced your transmission, we took the oil pan off, we replaced the filter, and we put four quarts back in it. But this time, may I suggest that you let us flush the transmission and get all 10 or 14 quarts out of it. It's up to you. I can drop the pan and change the filter. That's $200, or I can flush it, and that's $300. We now do that. We do it. I admit we do it. But it's in the customer's best interest, and not only do I do it, but I tell you why on our website, marksalem.com. So it's one of those things that I think it's best for my customers. You see, your transmission is going to shed clutch material and shed metal and shed asbestos parts of bands. The most is going to be in the first, 30,000 miles. So I want to just take the pan off, and I want to look for broken snap rings, and I want to look for brass, indicating there's a problem. I caught it while it's still in warranty. So I take the pan off, and we look at it. Oh, it looks fine. So we're going to change the filter, put four quarts in, poof, you're gone. But in reality, we didn't change all the fluid. We just did four of the 10 or 12 quarts. So the next time you come in, I already know the filter's clean. Next time you come in, I'd like to just change all the fluid. So I'm going to hook up a machine, suck out the old, push in the new, we're done. It's a quick, easy thing. But I want you to do a flush. I want you to do two flushes, and then we'll pull the pan. Two flushes, and then we'll pull the pan. That's what's in my customer's best interest. But I'm not selling you a whole bunch of magic lotion that goes into your transmission that's going to make your transmission last forever, and the transmission is going to love you because I'm putting this transmission stabilizer. I'm putting this transmission tune-up liquid in your transmission. And they use all kinds of fancy words for that. So I don't have any chemicals I'm going to sell you. Unless we have a specific issue, you have a combustion leak, maybe a head gasket, let's try some sealer. Oh, you know what? That fixed it. It's probably not a permanent fix, but let's just go as long as we can. Well, I want to trade the car in next year. Okay, fine. I think I can get you to next year. So we do have chemicals. We have chemicals that keep your transmission clean. I know. We have chemical. I know that, I said.
Okay.
My wife is coaching me. And that's okay. She's been coaching me for a long time. The idea is that there are some chemicals that are useful. We might spray some chemicals behind the glove box in your evaporator area because it stinks and because it's full of green mold. we might use some chemical to clean that area out. But you came in with a symptom, it smells like bad stinky feet over there, and you're going to leave with it not doing that. So that's the kind of thing. Okay, we got a caller. Who's that?
That would be John.
John, good morning. How can I help you?
Hey, Mark, how are you? I love your show.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, and I'm fine. Thank you.
Good. I just wanted to make a quick point about what you were saying with where the dealers or whatnot try to sell you on Arizona manuals, owner's manuals. The ironic or funny part about the whole thing is that, as you well know, a lot of the proving grounds are in Arizona. So before they even release it to the public, it's been tapped out here in the heat and the Arizona climate.
you know, you're exactly right. But here's the other side of it that some lady said to me on a radio show not too long ago. She said to me, do you think that they have a special manual for Minnesota and North Dakota when they're 20 below zero? And I thought, that's pretty smart. And she wasn't even a blonde, but that's pretty smart. I know I'm going to get in trouble for that.
Yeah,
too.
You are.
It's okay. I'm willing to get in trouble for
you're
that.
You're already in trouble, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. And so you're right. You're absolutely right. I was going between Payson and up on the rim to Happy Jack the other day. And remember those trucks we saw that were all dressed up in masks?
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't tell if they were Chevy, Ford, or Dodges. But they were one tons and they were carrying big loads.
Mm-hmm.
They were testing that truck in that kind of an environment. They can go from 1,500 feet to 6,000 feet. They can climb hills. They can pull loads. They can do all that kind of stuff. And I'm not mistaken, that was in the middle of the winter.
I don't really remember.
It certainly wasn't in the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
I think we were going up north for something.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, yes, you're right. We see that, and all of you that are within the sound of my voice, you've seen it too. You've seen the car coming down the road or the truck coming down the road, and it looks like somebody's wrapped a big piece of wrapping paper around it. And there's no what brand it is. There's a bra on the grill that takes away the you know, Chevy emblem, Dodge emblem, Toyota emblem. So you see those, and they're testing them in Arizona. So, yeah, the manual is written for everywhere that car's likely to be, and anybody that tells you otherwise is lying to you. That's all there is. They're lying to you. So 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. If you'd like to join us, you can. But let me tell you about a really good shop in Mesa. As a matter of fact, it's the only shop in Mesa that I recommend. Not because he's the best shop in Mesa, because he applied and he passed my very rigorous standards. He has to have insurance. He has to have ASC certified technician. He has to have 5 years of business. He has to have a clean Better Business Bureau record, all that, and everything else I can possibly check on him to make sure that you're taken care of. So Thompsons have been around a long time. The Thompson family, Brian and Thelma, their families have been in the car repair business probably since the 60s. So, and I know that because I know the Vivian name because I worked at his gas station, and I know John, his name, because he had the Union 76 at Country Club and University, and then I also know the Thompsons, that they had one out there at, I think it was Gilbert and Main Street. Cecil was his name, and he was a good guy. So those two kids, I call them Brian and Thelma, those two have some background. So they're on Main Street, just east of Stapley. It's a really good repair shop, and all you have to do is meet Brian or Thelma, and you'll know why I'm happy to recommend them, because they're really pretty doggone good. So that's Thompson's Auto Repair, since they've been around since 70, under this regime. And they're on Main Street, just east of Stapley. We'll be back in a minute. Minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Sitting next to me is Renee Salem. We've been in the car repair business for how many years?
Almost 40.
Yeah.
Way
yeah, that's
too
right.
Long.
It's going to be, when is it going to be?
October.
October will be 40 years.
Yes.
Yeah, and I married her when she was 10. Now,
mm-hmm.
Let me explain something. I got to clean it up because my wife said I got to clean it up. First of all, when it comes to flushing stuff, here's an appropriate way for the shop to tell you. Mrs. Salem, can you come out here in the shop for a minute? I want to show you something. And they pull the dipstick on your power steering reservoir, and they put it on a white paper towel. And the oil in the power steering is virtually black. Then they go over and they pick up a can and they stick their finger in the can and they put it next to the black mark and it's cherry red, clean as a whistle. You can see right through it. It's, the fluid is transparent. This is your power steering fluid. This is new power steering fluid. I just want you to know that at the appropriate time, you need to do it. And I'm going to charge you $150. And this is not something that's going to cause you to break down. This is a maintenance issue, and it won't take us but an hour. We'll flush out your power steering fluid. And, Mrs. Jones, it's important to know that we're not going to get it cherry clean because you have sediment and your car's been around the world four times. But we're going to make it a lot better than it is right now. So that's your option. I'll put it on your ticket, and I'll write down the price, and you can have it done whenever you want. Now, that goes for any fluid on your car. And you can say the same thing. Let me see what's on the dipstick and show me what you're going to put in there. If they look alike, somebody's pulling on your leg. So there is an appropriate time to do flushes, and thank you for reminding me that of that. But the liquids, we're talking about cooling system, brake system, transmission service, power steering fluid, differentials, transfer cases. Did I miss any?
I can't think of anything.
I think I pretty well covered them. Okay, let's go to Steve. Steve, good morning. How can I help you?
Hi, I have a 2000 BMW 740iL with a little over 200,000 miles on it. And last week my radiator, the tubes decided to expand on it, so I think I have a bit of a pressure problem. And I put a new radiator in, I put a new radiator cap on. I'm worried about head gasket leak maybe. I did a combustion gas test and it's not picking up anything and I'm not seeing any oil in the coolant or coolant in the oil. I just wanted to get your opinion on how I should proceed.
Okay, first of all, let me tell you that my staff is not allowed to use combustion tests. I'm embarrassed to tell you how many times in the 70s and the 80s that combustion test sent us in the wrong direction. It's pretty doggone hard to be in business when you're pulling head gaskets that you promise them it's going to take care of it, and it doesn't take care of it. So it's pretty doggone embarrassing. So I don't believe. Here's the number one thing. The number one thing. Guaranteed. Okay? You're driving down, and you have a little bit extra pressure in your coolant system because of a breach of the head gasket. You with me? So you park the car, and an hour later you come back. And when you start the car, that cylinder now has water in it because you parked it with full pressure, 15 pounds or about that. And that head gasket's going to seep or leak water into that cylinder. So when you start it up, of course, BMWs don't really hum like that, but you know what I'm talking about. So that's what you're looking for. And you're looking for an unusual consumption of coolant. So keep an eye in mind that there's a hot mark on your overflow and a cold mark. Forget the marks. I just want you to know that in the morning it's low, and when it's hot, in the afternoon it's higher. So the fluid level's low, and then when it's hot it's higher. If you don't have any of those symptoms, and if you don't have an unexplained loss of coolant where the overflow ends up empty, and you don't have an engine miss after it sits for an hour after you park it when it's really hot, forget the water and the oil thing too, because that rarely happens on a head gasket.
Okay.
So that's what I would do. And now another thing, you could take it to a shop and say, how much to pressure test my cooling system for 30 minutes? And they go, we'll bring it in hot and we'll do it. Now they're going to lose a little bit of coolant as they open up the hot cap, but we're going to put something on the radiator and we're going to look at your cap, and it's a 15 pound cap. And at my shop, we go two over. So we're going to put 17 pounds in it. It's already coming warm.
Yeah,
and so we walk away for 30 minutes, and it better have 17 when we get back out. And here's the cool part. If it's got a leak, if it's an external leak, there'll be coolant on the ground. If there's an internal leak, we'll have a loss from 17 pounds to 2, but when we start it up, it's not going to run very well. So, I mean, that's really, you're talking about $25, $35 to pull a car in for somebody and run a pressure test?
Yeah, I want to say it's about 40, but...
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. So that's how it is. So... I think in the absence of those symptoms, I think you're going to be okay.
Yeah, I have been using some coolant.
Okay. Well, and the easy part to do it with the pressure test will tell you that too. Now, a lot of times when it's a big head gasket problem, we'll pull the spark plugs out of it, pressure test it, and then crank it over. The cylinder that has water will shoot the water 30 or 40 feet. So that's why we cover the fenders with fender covers, and we always have the young junior technician stand there in front of the spark plug holes and say to him, "Hey, keep an eye on water when I crank it over."
You're mean.
You know what?
They learn fast.
They learn fast that way. So anyway, that's what I would suggest you do. Do you live up near I-17 in Deer Valley, anywhere up there?
No, I'm in AJ.
Oh, okay. I don't have a BMW shop. There's one in North Scottsdale, and there's one Action Auto up on I-17 in Deer. Is it I-17 near Deer Valley? Mm-hmm. They both have really good BMW technicians. So if you need it, just get my email address is mark@marksalem.com, and I'll help you. Okay? Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Wayne, you're up next. How can I help you?
Question about an old Ford truck, a 97 5.8 liter electronic fuel injection, 278,000 miles. That problems with it, wouldn't run. They put in a new distributor at the shop in Mesa, we took it to. And a week later, it sheared off the pin on the gear on the bottom of the distributor. So obviously, it didn't run. So it back. The new distributor in. So to get it, it just barely runs, won't get up to 30 miles an hour. And obviously, they haven't solved the problem.
Well, I don't know what's the matter with your phone, but if you're on Bluetooth or if you're on a speaker, can you get off that?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Let me address that. If for some reason or another we're going to shear the pin on the distributor, when they pulled the distributor out of it, they should have known that because the shaft would have been a two-hand operation. So it's not uncommon for us to lose a distributor at 250,000 miles. You know, that's six times around the girth of the earth. So, and then you said it runs bad when they get done with their work. That means that somewhere along the line the timing wasn't set right. So I think I would
that's
take it.
I was studying.
Well, and you know, old guys like me, we look at the distributor and we can tell it rotates clockwise or counterclockwise, and we know advancing the timing goes the opposite way. So we just take a long screwdriver with a hammer and knock that distributor over, and all of a sudden it runs better. And then we just go till it pings. Now, this is you and I in the middle of nowhere without a timing light. Does that make sense? So I'm just going to advance your timing until it rattles, and then I'm going to back it off a couple degrees, and you and I are going to drive home. So I think one and one equals two. It was running fine before you did the distributor. Then we sheared the gear. Then you put a new distributor in it. Now it doesn't run fine. Well, it's because somewhere they got the wrong distributor, the wrong ignition pickup, the wrong module. Of course, the Ford has an external module, or they didn't time it right. That's all it boils down to. Anyway, Wayne, thank you very much. Good luck on your truck, and I know you're fibbing me because no Ford goes 278,000 miles, but that's okay. I'm not going to call you now on it. Anyway, 602-508-0960. That's the phone number, and I'm happy to take your Ford call, and you're welcome to beat me up about my teasing about Fords, which is an argument that's been going on since the 50s. So I'm just one of those guys. We'll be back. Thirty-four minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, my name is Mark Salem. Sitting here next to me is Renee Salem. We've been in business, in the car business, for a very long time. And you know what a Segway is?
A Segway?
Yeah.
Are you talking about those things you ride, or is
you know what? That's a pretty good... No, it's going from one subject to another in a smooth transition. Okay? You ready for this one?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Because I know what it's going to be.
No, you don't know. You don't know.
I don't?
I met a guy not too long ago at an auto repair shop, and he was really a nice guy. Okay. Really, really a nice guy. And I came to respect him because he was just one of those guys that I would want to be friends with.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls a radio station every once in a while. As a matter of fact, he's in queue right now.
Okay.
But I met him at Kurt's Automotive.
Oh, yeah.
And Kurt's is his garage. And he loves Kurt, and Kurt loves him. And Harry is just one of those guys that is the epitome of the customer you love the most.
Okay.
Okay, Harry, how was that segue?
I hope it's
wow.
Is it the right Harry?
I was going to say, I hope Renee keeps you reined in, but I can see that it's a long rain.
Not possible, Harry. I've tried.
Harry, I want to tell you a story real quick, Harry. Okay?
Okay.
Wait.
All right. Just calm down, Renee. All right, Harry, you know I do a lot of legal work at the attorneys and courts and insurance companies. So this lady hired me to look at a particular vehicle where the tires had fallen off. And in the process, we had a car at the shop that was exactly like the car, and so we were showing her what the lug nuts should look like and what the wheel is and all that jazz. So she asked a lot of questions about the shop, and so I decided to give her a tour. This is a true story because Renee's going to hate me for telling it. It's a true story, Harry. So, so
unfortunately, Harry will probably believe it. He knows it because
it's true. So
it could only happen to you.
I'm walking around upstairs, and I said, "You're probably not going to find another auto repair shop with a radio studio in it, but you know, I can touch anywhere in the world right here," and blah blah blah. And so she's asking questions, and I said, well, let me tell you the best part of this that I'll take you to, and that's the men's locker room. They used to leave the lights on, so I put this automatic switch that when you come in, it turns the lights on, but it's only on for like 3 or 4 minutes. And I says, and so if they're in there a long time, they have to walk over the wall and wave their hand to turn the light back on. And then I said, I want you to look at something on the back side of the door. So we walk into the men's restroom, and I shut the door, and there's a big mirror there, and it said, would you want this guy to work on your car? And it's a full-length mirror. So as the technicians walk out of the locker room, I'm asking them, do you look as nice as you can? So we're sitting there talking, and I show her the light switch and all this kind of stuff, Harry. And I turn around and look, and in one of the stalls, there's a pair of boots with pants wrapped around them.
Oh, you're getting a kick out of yourself.
And I just, all of a sudden, I'm going, and I look at her, and I kind of move around to where she can't turn around and see the boots sticking through from the shitter area. And I go, there's someone here, we have to go. So I hustle her out. So about 15, 20 minutes later, I hear horrendous laughter downstairs. And they have been told by the young man that was in there during my tour that Mark took a female attorney and he took her on a tour through the men's locker room.
See, Harry, most of us are smart enough before we take anybody in on a tour. We might look in there first to see if anybody, yeah. Not Mark. He just barges right in.
And I'll tell you something in the defense of the whole situation. There was nothing in the sounds of sound or smell that would suggest that someone was in there.
Doesn't matter. You still check.
Okay. And Alan says, so we're all laughing, and they're laughing at me. They're going, when you hear a tour that Mark's leading, don't go to the bathroom.
When Mark has guests, stay out of the restroom.
And so Alan says, Eddie. Oh, I just gave him his name away. Eddie, why didn't you just go and clean your throat real loud once you recognized that Mark had just brought a tour group into the bathroom? And Eddie goes, I was so stunned. He said there was nothing I could do. But anyway, that's a life around Mark Salem.
Well, it's a good thing that the attorney wasn't a real investigative attorney.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing that she wasn't offended that I walked her into the men's restroom while somebody was in there going number two.
You're really getting a kick out of yourself. Harry, did you have a question or anything that you wanted to change the subject, please?
Well, you kind of touched on it a little bit, and then you were talking about your one customer and all-wheel drive. I got an all-wheel drive Honda Pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's got the deal that tells you how the inflation is on your tires and everything. And
right.
You can check it. And I'm pretty good about checking my tires, listening to you over the years, especially when I had an RV, making sure that the tire pressures were correct. And, you know, when I stopped to, you know, use my little laser.
Temperature gun.
Temperature deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. And but I did have problems with, you know, I went through about four tires on my trailer in a year, and they didn't have any miles on. I couldn't figure it out. And then you happened to say that, you know, they're only rated up to 65 miles an hour. I might have exceeded that a little bit.
Oh, well, if you ended up with two blowouts and the tires were shredded to smithereens.
I mean, it just destroyed them.
Okay. All right. Well,
anyway,
your wife was driving. You got to tell the truth.
What's that noise?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, she said, well, she would say, what's that noise? And I kind of glanced back when you see rubber flying and everything, you kind of know something's wrong, you know.
Yeah.
Luckily, it was a tandem and I had a good good tow bar assembly, so I didn't really run into any trouble. But my question is, I have an all-wheel drive, and I kind of, you know, I check my tires and everything, even though it shows on the, you know, the Honda panel, you know, what your pressure is. I know they're kind of, you know, not entirely really accurate. And I've had a real, I thought was a real good gauge over my pressure, you know, on the Honda panel is being higher enough.
Yeah.
So anyway, and it kind of rode a little rougher. So anyway, I'm thinking after you talked about diameters and whatever, you know, with pressure. So I went out and checked my tires a little bit ago, and I've got about four or five different gauges, you know, that I've had from over the years. And my go-to gauge that I had in my vehicle, you know, checking with another, it showed about a 5-6 pound difference. And I'm going, whoa. I'm thinking that's a little bit, you know, of a problem. So I find one that, or find two of them that kind of match what I have in my, you know, my my panel on my Honda.
Right.
So I'm saying, well, these must be the, you know, the better gauges. My question is, what type of gauges do you recommend? Because I've got anywhere from Meisser, TrueFlate, you know, a bunch of different gauges from over the years.
All right. All right. And the answer...
Where do you get them, and, you know, what...
That's not the answer. That's not the answer. It's important to know the TPMS, tire pressure monitoring systems, the sensors inside the tires, are temperature corrected and also moisture corrected, and they have a much better scan, but 36 can be 35 to 37. So you can be off one or two. I want you to know that that if yours were off, it'd be probably the first one I've ever seen. The far more dependable of all the gauges, and of course you know that the gauge can vary. You can get 10 different tire gauges, and they're 10 by 10 different manufacturers, and they're all different. So the most dependable is what's on your dash. And as long as you say, okay, I'm getting on the freeway and I'm going to drive, oh, I see a 5 pound raise on these, then everything's working fine. I still want you to use your temperature gun, because between your tire pressure monitoring system and the temperature gun, you are 100% covered. So I would throw the gauges away, and I would just use what's on your dash, and I'd use the gun. That's what I would do, Harry.
Okay.
All righty.
It just kind of concerned me, because this one I thought was really good wasn't so good.
Yeah.
It was really off.
Most of us use digital gauges now, but really and truly, if the tire pressure is on the dash, we'll use that as the number one. Now, a lot of them will just turn on the light and not tell you why, and that's where you have to have a gauge or a temperature gun. But anyway, Harry, I'm up against a break. I got to go. Thank you, Harry. Thank you for listening for my bathroom humor. And 602-508-0960. We'll be back in a minute. Forty-seven minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, my wife and I have had a heated argument about my bathroom humor, and at this point she has been banished to the other room. Oh, she's back.
You know, I got to watch you for the rest of the day.
Yeah. Okay, well, Kurt's auto, we talked about Kurt's just a few minutes ago when we had Harry. Kurt's is up at I-17 in Bell. He's got Eric, he's got Kurt, and...
You always do this I always forget.
Eric and I'll think of it in a minute. But anyway, there are three guys there that know their stuff. All three of them are master technicians, but Kurt's really the general of the army at Kurt's. I-17 in Bell, northeast corner, has been one of my favorite shops for a very long time, as all of them are. And he's somebody who has fixed cars that others couldn't, but I sent them to Kurt's because geographically he was best suited for their geographical area. So if you're anywhere near I-17 in Bell, Kurt's is a great place. And what else have we got going here? Oh, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. That's a phone number. If you have a quick question, you're more than welcome to call. Now, just on the other side of the town, we talked about Blackwell just not too long ago, 40th Street and Greenway. I've known Tom Blackwell for 20 years. He's kind of like me. There's no filter between his eyes and his ears and his mouth. And what are you shaking your head for?
Yeah, his mouth, I was going to say. Your mouth, his mouth, yes.
But Tom knows what he's talking about, and he works on, like, old hot rods all the way up to motorhomes, like most of us do. But he's very principled, and he has enough skills. He has a lot of skills, automotive skills, to know when there's a technician that might be BSing him or might not be telling him the truth or might not match the diagnosis and the repair with the actual symptoms. So 40th Street and Greenway, that's the best I can do for North Scottsdale with respect to an automotive shop that deals in gasoline kind of cars. So if you're up in that area, 40th and Greenway, just north on the west side of the road, is a great place to go. That's Blackwell Automotive. All right, do you want me to say anything else or apologize for anything else on this rope?
No, we don't have enough time.
Okay, all right. Well, then let me tell you about another good repair shop, Automatic Transmission Exchange. Phil is older than all of us.
Yep.
Phil, I think he came over in the Ark. He has been around a long time, but Phil has something that very few people have. He was there when automatic transmissions first came around, mm-hmm. and he's still there now.
Yep.
So Automatic Transmission Exchange, we affectionately call it ATE, has been around since 1968. So he's been working on the 50s and the 60s and the 70s transmissions that are quite different, but fundamentally the same as the new transmissions that we have today.
Yeah.
He's made the transition better than anybody I know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Automatic Transmission Exchange. He's at 40th Street in Washington, the north side of the road. If you drive up and down Washington, you're going to say, oh, I've seen that shop before, and you're going to know Automatic Transmission Exchange. So if you're in Phoenix and you need a transmission expert to drive your car, tell you what this is doing, what this hiccup means, and all that other kind of stuff, or a vibration on a 2-3 shift, then Phil would be a good guy to stop by, and more than likely someone will take a ride with you. Now, as with all shops, you can't kidnap my lead tech mm-hmm. and for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. You just have to be ready to demonstrate the problem, and hopefully you can have him back within 10 or 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So the best car repair shops list is on our website, marksalem.com. If you're looking for a good transmission shop or a paint and body shop, tires, diesel,
mm-hmm.
and just general repair, then it's a good place to go. And I think it's important for you to know that on my website, it says this. If you go to one of my shops and you have a bad experience, you must file, I want you to file, a nice complaint with the Better Business Bureau. Nice means nice. Now, the Better Business Bureau will investigate it, and more than likely it'll go to the Auto Advisory Committee, which I helped found many years ago. And the issues with cars are very technical, so I put together a team of guys, and the Better Business Bureau ultimately trusted us to look at automotive complaints and come up with a solution or respond to the complaint. So it might go through the Auto Advisory Committee, but one way or another it's going to come out. If the Better Business Bureau tells the shop to write a refund check or to make a repair and the shop won't, I will, up to $5,000. So if the shop won't replace your air conditioning compressor or fix your air conditioning, then I'm going to kick them off my list, and I'll fix it myself. Not myself, but
mm-hmm.
I'll have my techs fix your car. But I'm a master tech, so I'm quite sure I'm capable of doing that kind of work. It's just that they're better than I am.
It would take you a little longer.
It would take me a little longer.
Or a lot longer.
Or a lot longer. And thank you for that, Renee. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
All righty. Well, car repair is difficult at best, but let me tell you the procedure, and I think you'll find this normal. I think most of you could do this. And why are your pants on your head? I love
you
that
laugh,
commercial.
I know. You laugh at that commercial every time.
I love that commercial. I love that commercial. At the very end, she says to her son, why are your pants on your head?
Yeah, mine aren't, but
yeah.
Go ahead. Creating
that perception.
Yeah,
that
visual.
You don't want?
I don't know.
All right. The first thing we have to do is we have to interview the customer, and we have to get the symptoms from the customer. We don't want you coming in, ladies, and just telling us to flush the cooling system because your husband said so. Just tell us to call your husband, because 99 times out of 100, the diagnosis for wherever it came from, the husband, the boyfriend, the brother, the dad, the uncle in Massachusetts, whatever, he doesn't have the benefit of having the car. So we're going to guess with your money. If you come into my shop and many others and you tell us what to do, we're going to have you sign a form that says, I am dictating the work, and I accept full responsibility if it doesn't fix the symptom.
Right.
So anyway, the bottom line is...
Yeah, a lot of times they want to hide the symptom from you and just tell you what to do, and then they come back and they say, well, that didn't fix what I... Well, no, because you didn't tell us that part of it.
We write down everything you say,
right.
So you missed the symptom part. But anyway, our job is to get the symptoms out of the customer. Once we get the symptoms out of the customer, then we're going to bid the diagnostic fee, and that should be a window. 50 to 100, somewhere around there. 75 to 100, you hear me use 75 to 125 a lot. I'm trying to cover everybody. Mm-hmm. So you're going to okay the diagnostic. Then the shop's going to diagnose the problem. They're going to determine what parts are needed, what labor's needed. They're going to put together their estimate, and they should have parts, labor, shop supplies, environmental charges, and sales tax. They should have all in. So then they're going to call you, and they should say to you, Mrs. Salem, you had a vibration. We've diagnosed the vibration as the right front axle, and the axle's bad. We want to replace the axle. Your diagnostic fee was $70, and the axle is going to be $300. So you're going to have $370, and that's write your check before you get here, because that's all it's going to be. It's not going to be a penny more. So at that particular point, the shop has to fix the car. The technician who felt the vibration has to go drive the car to make sure that the vibration is now gone. The same guy has to drive the car. Then he has to sign off that I fixed it. Then you come in and we say, we came in under estimate, we fixed the vibration. That's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's what has to happen. But ladies, I feel for you, because so many times you're told what to say to us. But you can always turn that around and just say, here's my husband's cell phone, give him a call, and he'll help you understand the symptoms.
Yeah, or the driver of the car, whoever drives the car, it's easier if we talk to them, because they know. You know, people think that we might know a noise that's not supposed to be there, but if we don't drive the car every day, we don't know that that is an abnormal noise. To us, it's probably normal.
Well, and you're exactly right. You know, in our policy is we don't do noises unless you can show us the mm-hmm. noise. Okay, we're not going to fix noises, because we are wrong. And historically, we're 50% of the time we're wrong. We fixed the wrong noise. Mm-hmm. There was an El Camino that came in not too long ago, an older one. And he had this hard thump underneath the hood. And admittedly, it took us a while to find it. But he forgot to tell us that it only happens with the air conditioning on. So the low pressure line from the compressor is a big fat one. The high pressure is much smaller. Well, the high pressure, that line went along the fender. Well, the bracket was missing. The bracket that holds the line firmly to the fender. So the vibration of that hose caused the noise. So it was really just put a new bracket on it. Mm-hmm. But he could duplicate that noise, and he told us how to duplicate it. And when he took our guy for a drive, he said, see that, hear that, hear that? Well, the guy's sitting on the passenger side, and he goes, it's right in front of me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it's right in front of me. Sometimes on noises, though, we'll make them switch. So Tom and Eddie will go drive it. Tom will drive, Eddie rides. Now, sometimes Eddie's in the back seat on the left, back seat on the right, in the passenger seat, so we rotate that second guy around. And he can say, oh, there's no question, it's the right rear. Mm-hmm. So that's what. Then the driver has to rotate around, and Eddie drives the car. And the driver has to agree it's in the right rear. So that's, and yeah, there's some uncompensated time there. We're not going to charge you for two technicians for 20 minutes, at least we won't, and many other shops won't either. It's just one of those things. It's just something that has to happen in order to effectively fix the car. Now, if you're gone, if there's two guys gone for a half an hour, they should have been smart enough to bid that basically 1 hour's worth of diagnostic time.
Right.
Because when they come back, now if they come back and they still can't find it, that's kind of time that you can't bill. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't fruitful time. And it wasn't that you didn't try. It's just that once you fix it, everybody will know why you missed it mm-hmm. or why it didn't happen when you're in your car. But those are things that really are difficult for us. Noises, whistles, vibrations, engine runs poorly at 6 o'clock in the morning. The car only dies at 3 when I stop at this traffic light. Those kinds of things are the really difficult ones. Now, there are times that shop has to say, you need to wait until it gets worse and easier to find. But the shop can say, oh, don't worry about it. That's not going to leave you stranded, because they don't know what it is.
Yeah.
So they can just say, we can start guessing with your money. This scares them, though. Mm-hmm. We can start guessing with your money, and I can tell you we can probably spend $500 or $1,000 guessing, or we can wait till it gets worse and easier to find. Mm-hmm. And obviously the customer is going to take, hey, we'll wait till it gets worse.
Yeah.
But what happens if it breaks me down? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, mm-hmm. so I can't really tell you. Anyway, my email address is mark@marksalem.com. If you have a car question 24 hours a day, you can send it to me. Send me your phone number, and I'll call you from my block cell, and I'll do my best to have a good exchange with you. But as you well know, I can't fix your car over the phone. but I can send you in the right direction. Mark at marksalem.com. Drive safe.